speaking on this program is Gary Cawley.
Saul is on the road to Damascus with letters in his pockets to persecute the church. But we find the Lord arresting him there. And they were all fallen to the earth, the Bible says. And at that time, a voice is heard. It's addressing Saul. Saul, why are you persecuting me? In the first place, Saul didn't know he was persecuting the Lord. He was persecuting the brethren. And he had no idea, it seems, that to persecute the brethren is taken personally by the Lord. When we persecute the Lord's church, we persecute the Lord. And we need to know that the Lord is the one to whom we shall answer. So Saul is told here, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, when he asked, Who art thou, Lord? Now here is a very great revelation to Saul. Number one, he didn't think Jesus was alive. He thought he was still in the tomb, or else that his disciples had stolen him away. But he learns that Jesus has been resurrected. He learns not only that, but that he has been glorified. He's speaking from heaven. And so in noticing this, when Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, it's hard for thee to kick against the goad or the prick. He is telling him, it's hard for you to be rebellious toward God. The goad or the prick were sharp pieces of metal that were placed behind the feet of animals. And when they kicked because they didn't want to pull the load, then it hurt them. Now, it was hard for Saul because he was kicking against everything that was right. There are a lot of brethren and a lot of people in the world who kick all the time. But Saul had a special mission given him of the Lord. He said, To this end have I appeared unto thee. If you'll notice, he didn't say he came to save him now, because he wasn't saved on the road to Damascus. He wasn't saved until he went into the city. But here's the reason the Lord said he appeared to him. To make of thee a minister and a witness both of the things wherein I have appeared unto thee and will appear unto thee. He would be a full eyewitness of the Lord. And he said, to sending thee unto the people and unto the Gentiles, I want you to go for a specific purpose. What is it? I want you to go and open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the remission of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. You know it's a terrible thing to be blind, but it is a worse thing to be blind intentionally. And so here are some people who need some help with their eyesight. Lord wanted Paul to go and open their eyes. Again, I see a verse in Psalms 119, verse 18, where he says, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, here's some more people with eye trouble. The Lord said, Open, or Psalmist said, Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. In John 4:35, Jesus said to his disciples, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. I say unto you, behold, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they're white already unto harvest. Some other people with eye problems here, aren't they? In Revelation 3:18, he said, By of me I say for your eyes. And he was talking about their need because of their weak and damaged eyes. Then again I find in Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16, he says, Look, carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, if you will get that last verse, you will understand all of these. He's not talking about the physical eyes here, is he? He's talking about opening the eyes of our understanding. Be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Many people never pick their Bible up and then say, I sure wish I understood the Bible. Many people say, I just don't believe the Bible is true, and yet they've never read it. My friends, we need to open our eyes and look, don't we? We need to look carefully how we walk, not as unwise but as wise. We need to lift up our eyes and look on the fields that are white already under harvest and the garnering of souls into the kingdom of heaven. There are a lot of people who won't do what we sang this morning. They won't work for the Lord because they don't want to be workers for the Lord. This song says, I want to be a worker for the Lord. And each of us need to want to be before we will ever be. Do you want to be a worker for the Lord? The Lord can use you, but you're going to have to use your members not unto unrighteousness, but unto righteousness, as we discussed in our class this morning. So the psalmist expressed it well. Our prayer, which ought to be unto God, Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. Let me see those beautiful acts and those beautiful works to be done, and let me do them. I want to be a worker for the Lord. Well, what are you looking at this morning? What did you come here to see? You know, we need to stop every once in a while and question our motives in things. Did I come here simply because I wanted my neighbors to see me? Did I come here because I wanted to notice a young man or a young lady? Did I come because I wanted to notice what kind of clothing was being worn? Did I want to see whether the preacher had any hair or not? Did I want to see the color of his tie? What did I come for anyway? Or did I come to learn the truth? Did I come to have mine eyes open so I might behold the wondrous things out of God's law? You know, it can make all the difference in the world why we do things, can't it? I can go to work one day and I can have an off day and it's bad all day long. But if I remember who I'm working for, if I remember what kind of motives I'm to have in being a light in this world and salt in this earth, my friends, it makes that which I am doing so much more enjoyable. Yes, we can all get our eyes clouded over, can't we? You know what cataracts do for you, don't you? You know what sick eyes do for you, don't you? All right, the same thing can happen to your soul. You can get so clouded in your vision that you forget what your purpose is. So I'm wanting us to introduce these series of lessons with seeking the Lord's way by knowing that we have to open our eyes in order to seek. You know, what we do is determined by what we see. If you don't see the need, you won't do the needs. If you don't see the things in a natural realm, such as you're looking into a mirror and you see your hair needs replacing, and some of us, both of them, then you realize that you can't do what you ought to do because you haven't seen yourself. When a man looks into a mirror and doesn't straighten the things that are wrong in his outward appearance, something's wrong with him. He ought to do that before he goes out into public. Now we go to a doctor and we say, Doc, I've got a pain. And he says, well, let me get the x-ray machine. What's he doing? He's trying to see what's wrong with us. He looks on the inside with that. And then again, not only in the natural sight and the physical sight, we need to see ourselves spiritually. How are we doing, spiritually speaking? Are we sick? Yea, unto death? You know, spiritually, we can so forget our appearance that we don't appear spiritual because we're not spiritual. We need to look in God's mirror for the soul, which is the Word of God, and learn what our ailments are and correct those things. It doesn't come out of the air. It doesn't come oftentimes from our fellow man. It comes from God's Word, what we are to do and what we are to be. I want to see myself as God sees me. And that, my friends, is most important. I want men to see me correctly, but they won't judge me. I want God to see me, but I want to see how He's seeing me so that I may be able to correct what's wrong and meet Him in peace at last. Lord, open Thou mine eyes to the blessings and privileges of being a child of God. I think too many Christians have forgotten the joy of salvation. I think too many people have forgotten the privileges and the blessings that are ours in Christ. In 1 Peter 1, verse 7 through 9, Peter said that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom not having seen you love, and though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, young men, generally you fall in love with a young lady because you see her and you know her. Here is something that love is established on when we have not seen and we have not known personally the Lord. But we love Him because of what He has done for us and because of the revelation of that important love toward us. Romans 5:8 says, God commendeth His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when we see the beauty of the great sacrifice of our Lord, as we've commemorated this morning around this table, how can we keep from loving Him who first loved us and submitting ourselves to Him because we want to receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls? 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, He said, Beloved, behold, look at what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, how surpassing in its excellence, how gracious on His part, how wonderful and precious it is to us. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we be called the children of God, and such we are. Now for this cause, He said, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him even as He is. Does that hope burn strongly within you? Do you remember the privileges and pleasures of being a child of God? Maybe you don't. Maybe you need your eyes of understanding open to see what blessings and privileges are really in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Romans 8, verse 12 through 18, He said, So then, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh or a worldly life, but unto the Spirit. He said, If you live by the flesh, you'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We've not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. I don't know about you, but I count the privileges and the blessings of being a child of God on a daily basis the greatest honor and privilege that the world has ever known. Lord, open Thou mine eyes to these blessings and privileges, and open Thou mine eyes to the beauties of worship. As I said a moment ago, we need to question our motives sometimes. We leave a wrong impression with our children at times. We say, well, I've got to go to services. Do you really have to? No, you don't have to. You can stay away and lose your soul. You can stay away and lose the blessings of worship. Friend, when I come to worship, I oftentimes don't feel quite as good as I do when I leave. It lifts me up. It builds me up in the most holy faith. The singing is that which really thrills my heart. I'm able to admonish one with another as I sing and others sing, as we pray together, as we bow in humble reverence before our God, and to know that the Lord is present where those meet in His authority. Matthew 18:20, where two or three said are gathered together in My name as My disciples under My authority, there I'll be in the midst of them. Well, it's wonderful then whether My favorite preachers there are not, isn't it? If the Lord's going to be there, I want to be there. I don't want to miss anything such as this. And in our strife-torn world, isn't it wonderful that we can come together and sing such songs as, Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Indeed, the instruction of Ephesians 5:19, to speak one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, is one of the greatest blessings and privileges this old world has ever known. And what a friend we have in Jesus. And how wonderful it is that we can go to Him in prayer. No wonder Paul said, pray without ceasing. And then to think that we can come around this table and partake of the Lord's Supper. What do you see when you see the bread and the fruit of the vine? Do you just see some bread and grape juice? Is that all you see? Friend, if it is, you need your eyes opened. In Acts 20 and verse 7, it says, Upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul discoursed unto them intending to leave on the morrow, but he continued his speech until midnight. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said, though, the things which I received I've given to you. As oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until He comes again. You're preaching when you partake of that. You're preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ each time you meet around the table. But He said, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of this cup. For he that eateth of this bread and drinketh of this cup unworthily is guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself and then let him take. Examine himself for what? Examine himself to be sure he is remembering the Lord's body and the Lord's blood and the great sacrifice made for him. I hope, my friends, that you have not this morning eaten and drank damnation unto your soul. If you did not discern the body and the blood of Christ, you sinned. And we need to open our eyes to the real reasons we come around this table. What is your reason for giving? Is your reason for giving pure? Is it because you cheerfully love the Lord? Is it because you want to give bountifully and sacrificially unto Him? Or do you just give because the plate came by? Or do you just give because of what your neighbors might say if you didn't put something in? On the first day of the week, Paul said, as he gave order unto the churches of Galatia, so also the church at Corinth was to do. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as he may prosper, that there be no collections made when I come. But I'm afraid some of us give as we come around the table. We do it as a habit. We do it thinking, well, I wish we'd soon be through and get this over with so I can go to the cafeteria. I'm in a hurry to get home. What if the roast burns? You know about that picnic next week? Oh, I'm sure looking forward to the school activities. Friends, let me tell you, you need to open your eyes if that be the way you're living. Open your eyes to the real purposes of worship and to the real beauties of worship. And when we come to preach the Word, do you say, oh, I sure wish the time would pass fast? Or do you say, the opening of Thy Word giveth light? It giveth understanding unto the simple, Psalms 119, verse 130. And when we come to gather in such gatherings as this, do you say with the psalmist, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity? If it's good and pleasant to dwell together in unity, it's refreshing and delightful, isn't it? On the other hand, when brethren don't dwell together in unity, it's not good and it's not pleasant either. But he said it's like the oil that ran down upon the head, that ran down upon the beard, yea, even Aaron's beard, even down onto the skirt of his garment. It's like the dews of Hermon. Brings its fertilizing effects, in other words. For there, he said, Jehovah commanded the blessing, yea, even life evermore. In Zion, the church, all the blessings of God come together for our needs and for our welfare. And that oil is the protection. As it protected Aaron from the sun, so that oil of unity protects us and helps us to keep on going. And it's like the dews of Hermon, the fertilizing power that was caused because of those dews. It's a fruitful thing to have unity in the church. Without the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, we fragment. We need to build these things and give all diligence to have these things. Lord, open Thou mine eyes that I may see the privileges and the blessings of being Thy child and the beauties of worship. Open Thou mine eyes further that I may see the activities and the mission of the church. As I travel about the country, I find many people don't seem to know what the mission of the church is. Do you know? What would be your answer if I ask you, what is the mission of the church? You say, well, I'm looking for programs for my young people. That's the mission of the church. I want them to have lots of fun. I want them to go to Six Flags. I want them to go on picnics. Is that the mission of the church? I'm looking for a social organization because I want to be socially elite. Is that the mission of the church? Some people say, well, I want to attend the biggest congregation in town because of my business. You mean that's the mission of the church? Friend, what is the mission of the church? You know, I think we've lost it sometimes. The reason the church is not accomplishing more is because the church doesn't know where it's going. In Romans 14:17, he said, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, we are all workers in the kingdom of heaven. And we've all been hired to work in this kingdom by the most precious cost, the blood of Christ that has ever been offered. And yet elders sometimes think their work is a position of honor instead of a position of work. Evangelists sometimes think their work is just in a position of honor instead of a position of work. Deacons think, well, I'm supposed to have a position of honor here. I'm a deacon in the church. But it's not a position of honor. It's a position of work, friend. Bible class teachers, members in general, don't think you're not responsible. We all are. And we have to see what the mission and the activities of the church are in order to know what we're to do. We're to edify the church. We're to teach and seek the lost. And we're to give benevolence to those that are about us. Now, that's not hard to remember, is it? Teach the lost, edify the saved, and do benevolence to those about us. Did you know that's the mission of the church? Lord, open thou mine eyes. In 1 Corinthians 14:12, Paul said, so then, since you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may abound unto the edifying of the church. I wish I had a job to do. You do. You do. My friends, it is our mission to restore the uncorrupted church revealed on the pages of divine inspiration and bring its blood-stained banner before the world, because it's the only hope the world has. What was our Lord's marching orders? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. If you're a member of the church and you have not seen the beauties and the blessings and privileges of being a child of God, the beauties of worship, and the activities and mission of the church, you need your eyes open. No wonder Paul said, you go open their eyes, or the Lord said to Paul, go open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the remission of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. But Lord, open our eyes too to the opportunities that are ours. You read in Colossians 1:23, if you be grounded in the faith, be not moved away from the gospel, which ye heard, which was preached unto every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister. Have you ever stopped and startled at that verse? You mean that the gospel was preached to everybody in that generation? That's what Paul said. They all had the opportunity to hear? That's what he said. How did they do it? They didn't have a fine building to meet in like this. They didn't have cars like we have, or airplanes either. They didn't have radios. They didn't have televisions. They didn't have newspapers. And yet, for some reason, we can't get the gospel out, and we have all of those things. Well, I'll tell you what's wrong, friend. We need to open our eyes to our individual responsibility, don't we? And to the great opportunities that are ours. You know, every blessing has with it a corresponding obligation and responsibility. And so if we're seeking the Lord's way, and we find that way, then it is our obligation to help others to see that way. We not only want to preach the gospel here, but all over the world. And we want to see those opportunities to develop ourselves as better servants of the Lord. Let me ask you something, friends. Have each year that you've been a member of the church, can you lead a song better than you could lead it the year before? Can you teach a Bible class better? Can you pray in public better? Are you developing yourselves in reading the Bible better? Well, that's our opportunity, isn't it? But how many of us are really seeing those opportunities and taking advantage of them? I have said before, and I'll say it again, and I believe it's true. If we backed all the members of the church against the wall, and we said, if you cannot quote one verse for every year you've been a member of the church, we're going to have to shoot you. We'd have to shoot 98% of the brethren in the church. We don't know the Bible, do we? We don't have those truths ever before our eyes. We're not able to meditate upon the Lord day and night. We don't know what the Word of God teaches. I'm not mad. I'm just trying to get us to see that sometime our eyes are still closed. And we need to open our eyes to the opportunities that are ours to serve and to be a part of the Lord's church. Do you see the opportunity to expand the Lord's church here and abroad? Do you see the simple plan of salvation? Could you tell somebody the verses that establish that plan? Do you know about the one church that the Lord established and purchased with His blood? Could you show it to somebody in the Scriptures? If you can't, my friends, don't let your head be pillowed tonight and rest until you know the plan of salvation and scriptures to back it up, and how to show the Lord's church to the world. And I wonder if we're thankful. If we're not using these opportunities, it's simply because we're not thankful enough usually, and we need our eyes open. Open thou mine eyes to the resources that are ours. You do remember that Ephesians, the second chapter, or the third chapter, rather, verse 20, he said, in whom and by whom, he's able to do things that are beyond and above, exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And to him be glory in the church, and unto Christ in all generations, forever and forever. These are the opportunities that are ours. We work with God. We work with the greatest power that has ever been known in the world. We work with our God. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. According to what? According to the power that worketh within us. Now, if that power is not in you, then you can't expect the Lord to bless our work. We've got to put the power in us before we're going to do anything. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek. Listen to our Lord in John 15:5. I am the vine, he said, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. But apart from me, ye can do nothing. Oh, are you in the Lord? No, I haven't entered the way of the Lord. Well, then how do you expect the Lord to bless you? Well, I'm in the way of the Lord, but I don't know what He says, and I don't study, and I don't do what I ought to do. Well, you need your eyes open, friend, the eyes of your understanding. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. And I know our time has slipped away. Let me bring this to a close by showing you the realities of Christianity. I find a lot of people who don't have any realities of Christianity. By that I mean, as Paul says in Romans 8:16-18, they don't know that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. When we obey the gospel, we have two witnesses. The Holy Spirit told us what to do and we know what we've done. And we have two witnesses. We're the children of God. If I'm a child of God, a faithful child of God, I'm an heir of the blessings of eternal life. But not only that. He said further in verse 18 that I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to usward. When you think about the small things we suffer here for the cause of Christ, they sink into insignificance, don't they? And when they're compared with the beauty of the future, that eternal glory, you know, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:11-12 that if it is a faithful saying, he said, if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he also will deny us. Now there's reality here. This is not a game. We're in Christ Jesus because we're going to heaven. We're in the way that leads to that life. Do you, my friends, realize the realities of becoming a Christian by faith? That as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ? That's a reality. Do you know how to live the Christian life by faith? Every step that we take is to be a step of faith. Paul said we walk by faith and not by sight. And in Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, he said, and hearing by the Word of God. Is that the way your faith is established? Do you have any faith? What do you believe in? If you don't know what the truth says, you don't know what you believe in. But that faith is what undergirds our hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11:1. If you don't have any faith, you don't have any hope. And how weak and beggarly we are in this old world. Let me ask you something. Have you ever seen the resurrection of Christ? I have. I have stood there and seen that open tomb. I've stood there with the men who saw that, the women who saw that stone rolled away. And I've heard the angels say, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Ah, what a glorious sight that is. Have you seen it? Have you seen, my friends, the ascension of the Lord? I have. I have stood there and watched the Lord go into the air with the clouds, and I have heard the voice saying to thee, to me as it did to them, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus whom ye saw going away shall also come in like manner as you saw Him going away. Have you not seen the ascension of Christ? Have you seen His glorification? Have you not seen how that He is seated at the right hand of God, now reigning and ruling over us, and He invites us to reign and rule with Him through His truth? Lord, open Thou mine eyes that I may see the resurrection and the ascension and the glorification. Open Thou mine eyes that I may see the beauties of the church, which He purchased with His own blood. There are a lot of people who see no beauty in the church whatsoever. For shame, for shame, for shame. Because their eyes aren't open. All they see is a building. They never have seen the church. They never have seen the redeemed. Lord, open Thou mine eyes. And before we leave this in closing, Lord, open Thou mine eyes that I may see heaven for a moment. Let me walk down the streets of gold. Let me see the water of life and the tree of life. Let me see the people that are there, that are the redeemed of all the earth. My friend, have you not seen heaven? Oh, how you need to open your eyes if you've not. And then let me have just a small glimpse of hell, where the worm doesn't die, where the fire is never quenched. Let me hear the shrieks and the shrills of those who are in eternal pain, which shall forever and forever be tormented. Just let me hear it for a moment, though. And let me have my eyes open to what's coming. And if you know, my friends, there never would be another person say, well, if my loved one went to hell, I want to go there too. No, you don't. Your eyes have been so matted over that you've never seen what hell is like, or no one would want to go there. Lord, open Thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of Thy law. You know, it's sad to me that many of our young people are signing suicide pacts. They're pacting together to kill themselves. You know why? They don't see any reason for living here. And it could be because we haven't shown them the reason for living. If for no other reason, my friends, we ought to strive to live, to follow Christ, and walk in the way of our God. That gives us purpose in life, because heaven is there, not far from our view. And in order to do right, we must seek the truth of the gospel. We must not only want to know that truth, but earnestly desire to fully understand it, in order that we may walk in it, live in it, and obey it, in order that heaven may be our home. Now look at the verse of 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And see if it doesn't match what we've been talking about. For if our gospel be hid, it is hidden in them that perish, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the glorious gospel who's in the image of God should not shine upon them. Do you know where the devil's power lies? In keeping you and me in the dark. As long as he can keep the book closed, he can keep out of our minds the truths of the Word of God, and our eyes will be closed and we will not appreciate the blessings and wondrous things out of God's law. Paul, you go open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the remission of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. Lord, open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of Thy law. And say not ye, there yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. I say unto you, behold, look on the fields, that they're white already unto harvest. Open your eyes. And look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Redeeming or buying up the opportunities of the time. Opportunity knocks but once, you know. And that opportunity may never come again. Don't be foolish. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Thank you for your patient attention this morning. If you're in this audience and not a Christian, I hope your eyes have been opened to what you're missing. You need to hear His Word and believe it. You need to repent of the sins of your life. Confess the name of Christ with your mouth before men, or He won't confess you in eternity. And be buried with Him in the waters of baptism to wash away your sins. That's the way one becomes a Christian. He's raised to walk in newness of life. And with his eyes wide open, he serves the Lord with all of his strength on a daily basis until at last the Father shall call him home and the Lord shall return to receive him unto ourselves or unto himself. And that will be heaven. And the beauties and the blessings of hearing him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," will be ours. It's worth working for, friend. You want to be a worker for the Lord? Become a Christian. If you've fallen by the wayside, come home. Be restored through prayer and through repentance. And if you're subject now, will you come? While together we stand and while we sing.